Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Embrace. So grateful to have you here this morning to worship the Lord with us. It is a great morning to be together. We are a family here, and there's always room for more. So if you are new here, please, this is my welcome. I hope you'll get to talk to lots of other folks as well. My name is Christina, and I'm our associate pastor. And if you are new and would be willing to share your information with us, you can fill out one of these bright blue Connect cards that are in the pew. You can tell us if you'd like to be on our email list, or there's lots of other great ways to communicate. If you want to know about volunteer opportunities, or meet with the pastor, or even just learn more about the Christian faith, we are open to all sorts of conversations and would love to hear from you. So feel free to fill these out. If you have a prayer request, that white space right there is for prayer requests. And you can also submit those always to prayer@embraceyourcity.com. You can also give while you are in the building this morning if you would like to do that. And both filled out Connect cards and gifts go in the boxes. So there's one at the back and one to the side over here. There's not a set offering time in our service, but at any point you're welcome to put a gift in there. You can also always give online at embraceyourcity.com/give. During the service in here this morning, there will also be a stream of the service happening in our cafe. So that's right out this door and straight across the hall. Follow the smell of coffee and you'll find the cafe. But if it would be helpful for you to have a sensory break this morning, or you just need to be in a separate space for a little while, you can continue to participate with the service in there. And then I also want to encourage you to read our announcement handout. So these are on the welcome tables when you come in or as you leave this morning if you missed it on your way in. And this just lets you know all the great things that are happening in our community. And there's a lot going on right now. I think Pastor John might highlight some of it in a little bit. But I encourage you to read these or to get on our email list, which gives you the same information. So without any more announcements, we'll get started with worship this morning.
All right. Thanks, Christina. Good morning, everyone. My name's Laban. I invite you to stand up together if you'd like. We're going to start this worship time. Man, it's just a nice overcast morning to be inside, sing some songs together, and hopefully encounter the presence of the Lord. So let's join in this call to worship. O Lord, let my soul rise up to meet you as the day rises to meet the sun. Glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Who was moving on the waters? Who is holding up the moon? And who is peeling back the darkness with the burning light of noon? And who is standing on the mountains? Who is on the earth below? And who is bigger than the heavens? And the lover of my soul, Creator God, He is Yahweh, the great I am, He is Yahweh, the Lord of all, He is Yahweh. Rose of Sharon, He is Yahweh, the righteous Son, He is Yahweh, the three in one, He is Yahweh. Sing that again, Creator God, He is Yahweh, the great I am, He is Yahweh, the Lord of all, He is Yahweh. Rose of Sharon, He is Yahweh, the righteous Son, He is Yahweh, the three in one, He is Yahweh. Who is He that makes me happy? Who is He that gives me peace? Who is He that brings me comfort?
the bitter and the sweet. And who is stirring up my passions? And who is stirring up my passions? Who is rising up in me? And who is filling up my hunger with everything I need? Creator God, Creator God, He is Yahweh, the great I am. He is Yahweh, the Lord of all. He is Yahweh, Rose of Sharon. He is Yahweh, the righteous Son. He is Yahweh, the three in one. He is Yahweh. Let's lift it up, Creator God. Creator God, He is Yahweh, great I am, He is Yahweh, Lord of all, He is Yahweh, Rose of Sharon, He is Yahweh, the righteous Son, He is Yahweh, three in one, He is Yahweh. We're singing Yahweh. Holy and eternal, and forever You will reign. And every knee will bow before You, every tongue will confess Your name. And all the angels give You glory as they stand before Your throne. And here on earth we gather to declare Your name alone. Creator God, He is Yahweh, the great I am, He is Yahweh, the Lord of all, He is Yahweh. Rose of Sharon, He is Yahweh, the righteous Son, He is Yahweh, the Lord of all, He is Yahweh. Our Creator God, He is Yahweh, the great I am, He is Yahweh, Yahweh. Rose of Sharon, He is Yahweh, the righteous Son, He is Yahweh, three in one, He is Yahweh. Creator God, He is Yahweh, great I am, He is Yahweh, Lord of all, He is Yahweh. Rose of Sharon, He is Yahweh, the righteous Son, He is Yahweh, the three in one, He is Yahweh.
Let us in freedom confess the wrong we have done. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart.
We have failed to be an obedient church.
We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors.
We have not prayed.
We'll spend just a couple minutes. You can turn to a neighbor around you, say hello, and we share gratitudes or laments or both of them in this time. So share something from your life, and then we're going to continue with our worship time in a few minutes. All right, y'all. I invite you to stand back up. We're going to continue our worship time. We're going to proclaim this first song, that this is Amazing Grace. Out together. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who leads an orphan, a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. And who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Lift that up together. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be set free. I sing for all that you've done for me. Lord, we just thank you for this moment right now. Thank you that we can gather together. You know, I'm sure there's some of us here today that just had some of those weeks that you're glad you made it here today. If you had a great week, I mean, let's lift that up as a praise. Spirit, we need you to hover over our chaos this morning. As in the beginning, put things in order. Create beauty and something special out of situations that we find ourselves in and we're like, how did we get here? What do we do? Spirit, come in a special way. Give us the comfort and strength we need this morning. Hover over our chaos. Make order and beauty out of it. And give us the faith to lean into that, to take the path that you want us to take, and know that you are with us through all of it. Help us step out in faith. Waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where fear may fail and fear surrounds, you never fail and you won't stop now.
Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my
stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me, and take me deeper than my feet. My eyes above the waves, and oceans rise. My soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are
mine. Man, y'all can have a seat. It's really good to be here today with you all. My name is John Gallagher, and I'm the lead pastor here at the church. I just want to say welcome to all of you, and especially those who might be visiting with us this morning or maybe feel new to this place. I'm so glad you're here. If you want to know anything, have questions, whatever, let us know, and we'd love to talk with you. In your pews, there are connect cards, and Christina mentioned that earlier in the service. That's a great way to get in touch with us. So if you want to meet with a pastor, you have want more information about something, your prayer request, you can fill those out, and you can fold them and put them in one of these boxes. There's one there and one in the back. That is also how you can give this morning if you would like to support our work here at the church. We do a lot of really, I think, amazing work here in our community, and Embrace is a gift and a blessing to many, and I think we can't do any of it without your all support. So thank you so much for your consistent and faithful support of what we do here. We have been including a financial update in our announcement sheet, so I encourage y'all to be paying attention to that as we move through, and we're going to give more information about kind of where we're at right now and plans for the future here in a few weeks. But you can give offerings in that box there, or also you can do it online, and there's information there on the sign on how to do that. I do want to highlight a couple of announcements before I dismiss our kids for their time of learning. The first one is that we're going to be starting a pretty cool thing on Monday nights. Ellen Marmon, Key Wave, Ellen's right here up in the front. Ellen has started attending Embrace a while back, and she has this class that she offers where basically walks through the Bible in a very simple way. It's kind of combines Bible study and reading with also literacy. And so we're offering this to people first who maybe, you know, need help with reading and want to learn how to read better. And this is a good way to practice and read in community. And then also people who just want to get together and learn more about the scriptures. And so we're going to do that on Monday nights with that crew on Mondays. But anyone here is welcome to come if you'd like to participate. There's more information in there. Your announcements. And then we still do need some help with the gathering, particularly with cleanup on the nights that we cook, which is every Monday night. And so we had some folks come out this past Monday to help, which was great. We had some extra help, and it was a lot easier to get it all done. But we're going to need continued support for folks who are willing to commit maybe to once a month or a couple weeks a month. If you want to come every single Monday, totally cool, but there's information in there on how to get involved. So those are the announcements I'm going to highlight for today. If you would like to ask questions or talk more about any of them, let us know. So what we're going to do now is dismiss our kids for their time of learning in the Wonder Room. So if you're a child who is 4 years old all the way through fifth grade, you're welcome to go to the Wonder Room this morning. If you're a parent and have a child in that age range and they've never been to the Wonder Room before, then please walk with them. Make sure you introduce yourself to the teachers, have the correct paperwork filled out. But let's give our kids and our volunteers a hand as they come up to the front. So we're going to spend just a little bit of time in prayer this morning, and I'm going to kneel at the altar. If anybody likes to pray in that way, then you're welcome to come kneel with me at the altar, or you can stay in your seats. It's up to you. But we'll just take a moment just to be quiet. We've had a full band this morning, which is awesome. We've got lots of kids, lots of excitement in the space. And it's always great to celebrate in that way, but it's also good just to get quiet sometimes. And so we just want to take some space for silence. Maybe you just want to focus on your breathing if you don't know what to do in the silence. Breathing always reminds me of God's Spirit that is so close, all around us, moving in us and through us. And then I'll read a psalm for us in just a moment. I don't know about you, but my news feed has been full of hard things lately. The headlines are reading of terrible storms and flooding, washed away roads and highways, people who are stranded without electricity or transportation. Headlines read of more bombs and missiles and fighter jets, more drone attacks, more death, more assassinations, more devastation. The headlines read of dramatic increase in homelessness here in our city that we live in. We see the effects of that each and every day here at Embrace. The headlines read of division and fear and anxieties about this impending election. Of demonizing immigrants. So many things, God, that just seem so overwhelming to all of us here. And I'm drawn to this psalm that many of us have heard and read many, many times, I imagine. And it describes an image of peace in the midst of chaos, because we are with the Lord who is our shepherd. So my hope is this morning we can experience some of God's peace as we let these words wash over us. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Almighty God, we come before you this morning, and we're holding a lot of hard stuff in our bodies and on our hearts and our minds and our spirits. Many of us are afraid, and we're nervous. We're feeling uncomfortable and stressed and overwhelmed by the state of affairs in our own city and across our nation and world. God, on our hearts this morning is certainly the people who are suffering and afraid and overwhelmed and at a loss after the devastation of this just massive storm that blew across the South up here into Kentucky and just has wreaked havoc on so many. And God, I'm always left confused after these things and wondering, Lord, why this stuff happens and why people have to live in fear of the weather. And it seems almost at times that creation is lashing out because of the abuse we've wreaked upon it. And God, I don't understand, Lord. Sometimes it's hard to know where you are in the midst of all this. And God, we just pray today that you would show up, that you would be present, that you would be that loving and strong shepherd to those who need you right now. Lord, I'm also just feeling very heavy on my heart for just the turmoil across our world through violence and war. And this war machine that just never stops. And I feel complicit, Lord, and I feel overwhelmed by our own country's role in so much of this, just supplying and manufacturing just weapons of war that wreak havoc across our world. And God, we just cry out to you. We long for that day when these weapons of war would be turned into tools for gardening, as the scriptures prophesy about, Lord. We long for that day when there will be no more pain, that we will study war no more, and that we could all live in peace with one another and not see each other as threats, but see each other as siblings, the see each other as fellow humans who bear your image. We're praying, God, that there could be some sparks of unity and togetherness and coming together to see some change in this world, to see more peace and more justice and more wholeness in our communities. And Lord, help us to start right here where we're at, here at Embrace. And that they could be like ripples that move out into the broader city and across our world. And we pray more and more people of faith would be convicted and challenged to step up and to work for peace and justice in this world. Lord, I'm thinking today of continued, Lord, prayers for the Palestinians in Gaza who are so terrified. Also, a lot of the violence that is erupting in the West Bank as well. Lord, we pray for the everyday folks in Israel who are so scared of what these people in power are doing, bringing so much fear and uncertainty into their communities. We pray for the people in Lebanon and the bombings that are taking place there and just the scary stuff that continues to happen, Lord. It's just so overwhelming. I pray, I have folks in my mind from the Congo who have family members there who are just so afraid from the continued violence that continues to rage on in that part of the world. We could go on and on and on, Lord, and we just pray that Jesus, you would show up. We pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. We're longing for that day, Lord, where you will come back and make all this right. Help us, Lord, in these moments of doubt and confusion as we wonder where your goodness is in the midst of a broken world. But today, God, we also want to acknowledge and celebrate the goodness and the beauty that we see around us. That there are still babies being born. There are still things that are happening that are so beautiful. There's love that is being shared between people, creativity and art and building up of lives and transformation and people overcoming addiction. And we just celebrate all of that, Lord. And we are just so grateful that you are still doing beautiful things among us. Even in the midst of a dry and parched land, there is still, Lord, goodness and refreshing things that are happening. And help us to have eyes to see that, Lord, and ears to hear the good news, even as a lot of the noise is drowning it out right now. We need you, Lord, so much. We pray that we could hold on to hope, that we could be prisoners of hope and not let go, even as the darkness seems to overwhelm. We love you, Lord, so much. We love you. Thank you for loving us. And now we join together and pray this prayer that Jesus taught us, his disciples, to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. So today we are moving along in our Acts series. We've moved into Acts chapter 21 today. We were in Acts chapter 20 last week. I'm just going to tell you, the book of Acts it kind of changes course a lot in the next few chapters. Very soon, Paul is going to be arrested, and he doesn't get out of prison until before the end of the book. And so he's going to be incarcerated for the rest of the book. And so the action really slows down a lot for the rest of Acts. And so I'm interested to see where the series takes us over the next few weeks. But we should be wrapping up the Acts series towards the end of October, all right? So if you are ready to get out of Acts, then I have good news for you. We are on part 23 today. So, you know, we're going to be under 30 parts for this sermon series. So thank you for going along with me through this. I was talking to another pastor the other day. I ran into him down at North Lyme. If you go to North Lyme, you'll probably run into me often down there. My wife says I go there too much, but, you know, it's good. It's good. But I ran into a friend of mine, and he was talking about sermon series, and he's like, yeah, you really do long series at your church, don't you? I was like, yeah, sometimes. They put up with me. So today we're in Acts chapter 21, and we're nearing the end, like I said, of this long and kind of risky story of the Holy Spirit working through the first Christians. Last week we looked at Acts chapter 20, which really marks an important shift in the book. The story changes its tune and really things start to shift. What happens is Paul sets his face toward Jerusalem. Luke, the writer of Acts, presents Paul as being like Jesus. If you remember, towards the end of Jesus' life, he also set his face toward Jerusalem, knowing that trouble and suffering awaited him there. And Paul understood this about Jesus. Paul understood that suffering was awaiting for him in Jerusalem, yet he felt strongly that the Holy Spirit was leading him to go anyway. And in Acts 20:22, Paul says these words, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there." So in Acts 21, Paul begins his journey to Jerusalem. You know, it appears that Paul boarded ships to get to Jerusalem, and he was boarding likely trade ships that were bringing goods to different places along trade routes. And so it certainly wasn't the most direct route, but he kind of had to follow where the ships were going. You know, it's kind of like being a hitchhiker. If you're a hitchhiker, you don't get to pick the most direct route to your location. You got to go where the rides are taking you. And this is what Paul was into here. He's just hopping on these ships, going where the ships would take him. And eventually he's going to wind up in Jerusalem. And so this is where the story picks up in Acts chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. And so if you'd like to follow along in your Bible, you can turn there or you can follow along on the screen. So this is right after Paul had left that place where he gave these final words to these leaders who were from Ephesus, who kind of met him at a neutral site, and then he hopped on the ship and he moved on this journey to Jerusalem. So after we had torn ourselves away from them, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Kos. The next day we went to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. We found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, went on board, and set sail. After sighting Cyprus and passing to the south of it, we sailed on to Syria. We landed at Tyre, where our ship was to unload its cargo. We sought out the disciples there and stayed with them 7 days. Through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. When it was time to leave, we left and continued on our way, all of them, including wives and children, accompanying us out of the city. And there on the beach, we knelt to pray. After saying goodbye to each other, we went aboard the ship, and they returned home. So, let me break this story down for you just for a minute. So they landed in this city called Tyre, all right? And Paul and his traveling companions got to this city, they got off the ship, and they went to find the disciples who lived there, other followers of Jesus. You know, as you may remember, there was this practice of hospitality among the early church. And so these Christians knew if they showed up in other places and they found other disciples of Jesus, they would have a place to stay, because this was part of their culture, this was part of their value. I think we probably should recover this value of hospitality in our culture today. But this was a beautiful part of the early church, is that they showed up to Tyre, they found the disciples there, and they invited them in, and they stayed with them for 7 days here in that space. So during the visit, these disciples in Tyre approached Paul with a message from the Holy Spirit. I remember in high school, someone that I knew, I was on a trip to Costa Rica, and this guy that I trusted and respected came to me, and he said, "John, I have a message from the Holy Spirit from you." And I'll never forget what he said. This was a man I loved and respected, and what he said to me was exactly what I needed to hear in that moment. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. It's not a common occurrence, I don't think. But this man gave me a word from the Spirit. In Acts 21:4, we read that through the Spirit, these disciples in the city of Tyre urged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. So this message that they brought Paul through the Spirit likely created a problem, because these disciples in Tyre went to Paul with a message claiming it was from the Spirit, yet their message from the Spirit directly contradicted the message Paul received from the Holy Spirit. Let me remind you of the verse I just read from Paul. "And now, compelled by the Spirit," Paul said, "I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there." And then these disciples in Tyre come to Paul, and it says, through the Spirit, they urge Paul not to go to Jerusalem. So you have Paul, who's deeply connected to the Spirit, and the Spirit's leading in his life. He felt the Spirit telling him to go to Jerusalem. Yet the disciples in Tyre, who are also deeply connected to the Spirit's leading, they felt the Spirit was leading Paul not to go to Jerusalem. I'm like, huh? What's going on here, right? Is the Spirit giving two conflicting messages to two different people? You know, in Acts, when the Spirit speaks, it's usually pretty clear what the Spirit's wanting people to do. It's usually pretty clear what the Spirit is saying. And here, the text gives no indication that either party was being led astray or deceived or confused. Paul and these disciples in Tyre both felt the Holy Spirit leading them, but the Holy Spirit seemed to be leading them to different things. Paul felt the Spirit leading him to go to Jerusalem, and the disciples in Tyre felt the Spirit saying that Paul shouldn't go to Jerusalem. You know, I think it's important to point out both of these convictions that they had seemed to be driven by love, which I think is important to point out whenever I'm trying to discern whether something is right or wrong. Usually, was this moving in the direction of love? You know, because I think love is a good way to kind of measure something. Like, is this really from God or not? Is this leading me down a path of love? Well, I think for both of these groups, love was at the heart of it. Paul deeply loved Jesus. Paul loved Jesus so much, he wanted to be just like Jesus. Jesus had the courage to go to Jerusalem, even when suffering awaited him there. Paul so identified with Jesus and his mission that Paul was literally following in the footsteps of Jesus. Paul also deeply loved the church. I imagine Paul wanted to go to Jerusalem because he wanted to continue pressing for a more inclusive early church, a church that embraced and included the Gentiles, not just the Jews. Paul loved his Jewish roots, and I think he also probably wanted to go to Jerusalem to show the Jewish Christians there that he loved them, that he accepted them, even though he was reaching beyond them to the Gentiles. And finally, Paul was going to Jerusalem because he collected a bunch of money from all the Gentile churches, and he was taking that money to give to the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem, because the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem were suffering more than the Gentile Christians. And so the Gentile Christians had more resources, and Paul was compelling them, you need to give to this collection for the saints in Jerusalem because they need it. They're suffering. And so Paul was going to Jerusalem to deliver this money, these resources to these Christians there. So Paul was listening to the Spirit, and he discerned that the most loving path was that he ought to go to Jerusalem. Now, the disciples in Tyre also loved Jesus. I believe they also loved the church, and they loved Paul. I imagine they didn't want Paul to go to Jerusalem because they knew that suffering was waiting for Paul in Jerusalem. Have you ever loved somebody who was making a choice and you're like, they're going down a dangerous path and I don't want you to do this, right? I don't want you to suffer. They did not want Paul to suffer. I wonder, too, if they maybe wondered, like, would it be better for Paul not to go there and potentially get arrested, because he could do more good if he's not in jail, right? He could go and start more churches. He could hang with us and encourage us more. The disciples in Tyre also listened to the Spirit, and they discerned that the most loving path was asking Paul to avoid Jerusalem and not to go there because it was not safe. So we have two groups, well-meaning, loving, and committed people who discerned opposing messages from the Spirit. Has this ever happened today? I think this happens all the time today, right? Where you have well-meaning, loving, committed, faithful Christians who hear the Spirit leading them in different places, in different places. You know, my instinct is always to ask, well, why does that happen, you know? And unfortunately, the text doesn't tell us why it happens. And I wonder, is the Spirit intentionally giving different messages to different people? Is the Spirit wanting to create some confusion here? I don't know. Or are we just confused and don't fully understand the story? Perhaps it's just really hard to discern the voice of the Spirit, and this is a real-life example of people trying to figure that out. The text doesn't give us an answer, but I think the story does give us a good example on how we should respond when well-meaning and loving people disagree with one another. First, I want to point out in this story that no one freaks out over this disagreement. There is no indication that either side was labeled a heretic or selfish or a bad Christian. The writer of Acts doesn't even seem to be too concerned about this disagreement. Paul chose to stay in Tyre with these folks for 7 days, even after he got this message from them that was totally against what he felt like should happen. I imagine they had some really good conversation over those 7 days. Perhaps the disciples tried to convince Paul to go in another way, and they had a lot of lively debate and conversation about the pros and cons of going to Jerusalem versus not. They stayed together there in spite of it all. We don't know the outcome of those 7 days they spent together, But we do see something that happens at the end of his time in Tyre, which I think is a really beautiful image that ought to teach us something. It doesn't tell us whether they came to agree with Paul or not, but here's what happened at the end of the story. It says, when it was time to leave, we left and continued on our way. All of them, including wives and children, accompanied us out of the city. And there on the beach, we knelt to pray. After saying goodbye to each other, we went aboard the ship and they returned home. So Paul decided to go on to Jerusalem, even though they were begging him not to go, even though they claimed the Holy Spirit told them that he should not go to Jerusalem, he went anyway. And when Paul went to the beach to board his ship, he didn't go by himself. It's not like they said, well, if you're going to do this, you're doing it on your own. No, it says that all of them, all of the disciples in Tyre went with Paul to the beach. It says even the children went with them to the beach, prayed with Paul, and they said goodbye. And I love that Luke points out that all of them went to the beach. No one stayed behind in quiet protest. No one shunned Paul. They all went to send Paul off in love on a mission that they fundamentally did not agree with. I think this is a beautiful scene. Two groups. You got Paul and his crew. You got the disciples in Tyre together in disagreement, showing grace and commitment to each other, even when Paul did not do what they hoped he would do. And they even had their children there to see what it looks like to stay together and to love through disagreement. I think it's such a beautiful scene. I want to read something that this guy Matt Skinner says about this. He says, we should be more interested in praying together with our neighbors on beaches than prevailing over them in every disagreement. And then he goes on to say these words. Perhaps more remarkable about this story is not its suggestion of the Holy Spirit giving two contrary messages to two different groups. Rather, a community of people experiencing fundamental disagreement on how to respond faithfully to the Holy Spirit stay in communion. Neither Paul nor the Tyrians give up on each other. How can the Spirit be visible amid Christians holding opposed spiritual convictions? In this way, the Spirit preserves the bond of unity, dramatically enacted when Paul and the believers of Tyre, all the men, women, and children, pray together on the beach. The scene closes not with a quarrel, but with shared commitment. And he says it's a good thing the children were brought along to the beach to learn what unity looks like. You know, this is like a really simple story, and it's really easy to jump right over it. But as I was reading through some of this stuff this week, and particularly read some of this guy Matt Skinner's thoughts on this passage, it really just jumped out to me that this is such a beautiful story. And imagine this image of two people who were disagreeing with each other and over really high-stakes stuff. This is not lighthearted stuff they're disagreeing with. It's like life and death stuff for Paul, for the Christian church. And they had disagreements over this. Yet instead of pulling apart from one another, they clung to one another. They stayed close to one another. They leaned into one another. And they stayed committed to one another. So much so that everybody came out to make sure Paul knew that they loved him and supported him and they were with him in prayer. You know, I've heard from people who have said that, and this may be true for you, particularly people who don't like conflict, you know, that disagreement can feel kind of scary. Like disagreeing or having conflict with people that you care about. Because some people believe that if you have a disagreement with someone, then the relationship's likely to end. And frankly, that happens all too often in our society, that when you have conflict with people, you just kind of have to move on because we don't have the tools and the ability to work through those conflicts. Many people have lived in this relational uncertainty, fearing conflict because they fear losing people. And I think this story shows us what true love, strengthened by the Holy Spirit, can offer us. Because if we have true love that is strengthened and brought together through the Holy Spirit, then I believe we can withstand most disagreements. Now, of course, there may be some really fundamental things, and it's like we got to part ways, and that happens sometimes. But I think our instinct ought to be to try to hold on to one another, try to work through things, try to stick together in spite of disagreement. You know, many of you all have known the history of like our denomination as a United Methodist and gone through this massive split, and it's just been so heartbreaking to me. Particularly as I've read through Romans a couple of summers ago, as we've gone through Acts this summer, as we've gone through Paul's letters, read through Jesus' words over and over and over again. The message is like, y'all, stay together. Work through this stuff. Respect one another. Try to hold on to the bond of unity and welcome as many people into this church as you possibly can. And I believe that is one of the predominant themes of the entire New Testament. And I did not really see this until just a couple of years ago, that this is what comes up over and over and over again. People who are vastly different from one another, who have vastly different convictions, choosing to stay together and stick with one another and love one another through it and be able to see one another's perspectives. You know, I think maybe in our church, we need to remind people and remind each other more often. Say, hey, it's okay. I may get upset with you. I may disagree with you. I may get offended and I might even offend you. But I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere because I love you and I am committed to you. You know, we have a hard time with that kind of commitment in our world today. But I think we need it so, so, so much. I remember just a few years ago, coming out of the pandemic and all the unrest in our nation and a lot of the just racial injustice and a lot of the things that were happening. Tanya and I have been talking a lot about we need to speak truth and we need to stand up for these things. But at the same time, we also got to hold on to one another and listen to one another and make sure that we're truly trying to grow together in love. Because if we continue just to push people away, then I don't think we're going to be the church that Christ has called us to be. I think this story in Acts, you know, it's so simple, and I don't think I need to say much more about it, because I just think it's a beautiful representation, and I love that idea that we need more commitment to prayers on the beach than we do of fighting with one another and separating over quarrels and disagreements that we're having. And so I want Embrace to be the kind of church that truly embraces all people. And that means if you don't agree with what I say a lot of the time, that's great. Stick around. Let's continue to talk and hash this out and learn and be shaped by one another. We were having our curated conversation thing downstairs, and we were around our table talking about some of these issues. And I'm just been reminded over the last few years the vast need for humility, because often we think we know the right thing. And we think that, well, the Spirit told me to do this, so we better do this. Well, the Spirit may be working in somebody else's life, and y'all got to work that out. And y'all got to use wisdom and discernment to decide what is the best path we've got to take. But it's going to take a lot of love and commitment to one another. And so my hope is, as we continue to move into kind of a volatile season that we're in, our culture is, and our society is in a really significant and important moment right now. This election coming up, I think a lot of us feel the high stakes involved here. We see the destruction, many things I was praying about this morning happening all across our world, and we're going to need each other more than ever, and we're going to need to try to stay together, even through, there's going to be a lot of emotions, there's going to be a lot of opinions and convictions, and I just think what the Scriptures teach us is that Christ has brought us together, and that every single one of us have an important place in the body of Christ. And nobody can say, I'm more important than you, or my opinion's better than yours. Like Paul, God has brought us all together. And I think when the early church got it right, like in this moment, they didn't always get it right, but when they got it right, I think it's such a beautiful image for what we ought to be about. And so maybe you can come away with that image today of this group of diverse people coming from all different backgrounds, very different convictions, very different places in life, all together praying on the beach and holding on to one another in spite of significant disagreement. And I believe that's what Jesus wanted when he said, my prayer is that they might be one, that they might be one. And so hopefully we can continue to live into that. We're going to share communion today, and communion is such a powerful image as well of what that unity can look like. Every single one of us who comes down this center aisle, we're coming shoulder to shoulder right next to each other. And none of us can claim that we don't need the grace of God in our lives. None of us can come forward claiming that we have got it all figured out and that we have reached this place of not needing Jesus anymore in our lives. Because we truly do all need Jesus. We all need that love and grace and forgiveness that he offers us. We were talking this week with somebody just about the way we do communion here, and Christina and I were sharing one reason we love it is because we all come together, and we're all coming down this aisle together in unity, all equally in need of God's love and God's grace. And it's something that can bond us together, and I think it does. I think this practice that we do every single week truly helps our church to stay bonded together in love. Because even someone standing next to you, you may not see eye to eye on a lot of things. But both of y'all need Jesus, and Jesus loves both of y'all unconditionally. God, we thank you so much for being here with us today. And God, I pray that this just kind of simple story from Acts that we often would just jump over as kind of part of a travel log of showing where Paul went. We pray that this story would remind us of the beauty and the value of staying committed to each other. That, Lord, we would be able to yes, speak the truth, but speak the truth in love. And that we would have that ability to speak and to honor, Lord, what's on our hearts and on our spirits, while at the same time holding tightly to one another. Knowing that our love for one another and the love that God has for us is much bigger than anything we might face here in this world. And that, God, you have brought us together. And help us just to see the value and beauty of that and continue to live into that. And Lord, we pray that the bond of your Holy Spirit would continue to unite us and to bring us closer together. Not just in theory, but really in practice, that your Spirit would bring us together so that we can truly support one another and be with one another as we travel this difficult road that we see ahead of us, especially over the next few weeks. Here in America, Lord, we need you. We need your guidance. We need your discernment. We need your wisdom. We need your fortitude. We need your courage. We pray we could help to bring that to one another in this community. We pray over this bread and juice that it would be for us the body and blood of Christ. We pray you would fill us up this morning in a fresh way. We'd leave here changed because we've encountered you, the living God. We love you so much. Thank you for loving us, even when we don't deserve it. And thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for loving my neighbor. Thank you for loving my enemies, Lord. Because we know, Lord, you see things bigger than I do. And help me and help all of us, Lord, to continue to try to love in that way. And forgive us for all the times we get it wrong. But empower us through your resurrection, through your Spirit, to be about the things you're about, and to become more and more like you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite those who are helping me serve communion to come on up to the front. Here at Embrace, we take communion by your form. Two lines right down the center aisle. As you come forward, have your hands open to receive the bread and the juice. Your server will tear off a piece of bread for you, and then they will dip it in the cup for you, and then they'll put it in your hand. There's Kleenex if you need that. We got a box over here. I'll locate one for over there if it fell off or something. But let me prepare this, and then I'll invite you up in just a moment. Everybody is invited to share communion. You don't have to be part of our church. You don't have to have it all figured out. If you want to know God more, then I believe God's arms are open, inviting you to come. We have a gluten-free option if you need that. We also have prepackaged elements in the back if you need those as well. But everybody's invited. Come as you feel led.
Yeah. exalted, the King is exalted on high, and I will praise Him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise His name. And He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. Exalted, the King is exalted on high. He exalted, the King is exalted on high, and I will praise Him. He is exalted, forever exalted on high, exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. Then I will praise Him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise His name. 'Cause He is the
stand together. In His holy name, He is exalted.
exalted. The King is exalted on high.
Amen. Well, thank you all so much for being here today. It's been really good to be together. So if y'all could prepare your hearts to receive the benediction. May the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen. Go in God's peace. We'll see you next time.